Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Interview. We're sponsored by the Wharton Law School of Business and Public Affairs, where is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Wharton. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally, 7 days a week here in the United States, and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, economics, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the economic bubble right after this. You know, the genocidal policy of Global 2000 and this New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. And that's not just my opinion. Jesus of Nazareth held that same view. Here's what he said in Matthew 24, verse 22. He said that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. Now, there are 64 life-threatening problems described in Scripture dealing with this New World Order and their Global 2000 genocide plan. The Scripture teaches preparation for this great tribulation, not apathy or indifference. That's why I contend that it's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all of these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians like Ted Kennedy, Arlen Specter, Hillary, or that guy John in the Justice Department, and let you and I prepare to live through and survive this Global 2000 New World Order nightmare. Now, if you'd like to do just that, why don't you call, write, or email the law school and ask for those 64 life-threatening problems from the Scriptures, and let's talk about formulating a real, meaningful, intelligent plan to survive Global 2000 and the other 64 life-threatening problems called the Great Tribulation in Scripture. Just call and order my free general law CD package. That's the place to start. That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational. It's informative. It's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to the website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email, send an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, I said last time we take a look at the Scripture, and I'd show you that the Scripture has a lot to say about this thing of the Great Tribulation, has a lot to say about subsistence and survival, but basically it has to do with a cause and effect relationship that began at Mount Sinai with a fellow named Moses. Remember old Moses out of Mount Sinai? Came down off the mountain, broke the two tables of stone, went back up and got another set of the Ten Commandments, came back down. What most people don't realize is that Moses also brought down 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments on parchment and put them in the Ark of the Covenant. It completed the entire law. The Ten Commandments are the basis of that law. And then we have the statutes, the judgments, to go along with them. In other words, you've got a law that says thou shalt not steal, but the statute says you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag in Deuteronomy 25, verses 16 through 18, I believe it is. So the statute on unjust weights and balances is actually a statute in support of, or extrapolates, explains, is more expansive of, thou shalt not steal. There's 133 basic laws in Scripture. That's it. 133. That's it. 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments organized into 133 titles of law, subject matters of law. Thou shalt not steal is one subject matter. Thou shalt not commit adultery is another. And so on down the line. Now, in Deuteronomy 28, listen to the first 14 verses. God says, if you practice my law, do these 133 laws, practice my Ten Commandments, you do my statutes, judgments, and commandments, here's what I'm going to give you. Listen to this. Not a bad program at all. He says, it'll come to pass, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Eternal your God to observe and do all of his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Eternal will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. All of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, and if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kine, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and store. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Eternal will cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out before you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Eternal shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand to do. He shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he has sworn unto you, and if you shall keep the commandments of the Eternal your God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Eternal, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Eternal shall make you plenteous in goods, and the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your cattle, and the fruit of your ground, and the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give you. And the Eternal will open unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. And the Eternal shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. And if you shall hearken unto the commandments of the Eternal your God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. And in verse 14, and you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Now, there's the first 14 verses of Deuteronomy 28. Doesn't sound like a very bad program to me. Sounded like it was a pretty good program. In Leviticus 26, here's what he has to say in the first 14 verses. He says, you shall make no idols, nor graven image, neither shall you rear up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down to it, because I'm the Eternal your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, because I am the Eternal. In verse 3, he starts off and he says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I'll give you rain in due season. The land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall reach to the vintage shall reach to the sowing time. You shall eat your bread to the full, and you shall dwell in your land safely. I'll give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. I'll rid evil beasts out of the land, and neither shall the sword go through your land. That's war. You shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. 5 of you shall chase 100. 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. I'll have respect to you. I'll make you fruitful and multiply you, and I'll establish my covenant with you. And you shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. I'll set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I'll walk among you, and I'll be your people, and you shall be, I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. I'm the eternal your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, and you, that you should not be their bondsman. And I have broken the bands of your yoke to make you go upright. All right, now there's the benefits. There's 33 articulable benefits that he articulated in those two chapters. 33 benefits that you get for practicing the Ten Commandments, the statutes, judgments, and commandments. And let me tell you, boys and girls, that from 1787 to about 1950, we collected all of them. We, the Americans, Canadians, Australians, New Zealanders, and the British, and to a lesser degree, the other nations of Western Europe, collected those benefits right there, because we're called the Western civilization, the Judeo-Christian ethic, the Christian world. Now, we didn't practice all of these commandments, we didn't practice all of these laws, but we practiced most of them. We practiced a lot of them. But you know, today, we don't do that anymore. Let me give you a partial list here. Today, we practice integration in place of segregation in violation of Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. Today, we practice Christmas in violation of Jeremiah 10, verses 1 through 6. We eat pork in violation of Leviticus 11, verse 7. We practice Easter in violation of Jeremiah 44, verses 17 through 19. We practice interracial marriage in violation of Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 11 and Ezra 10:10. We practice unjust weights and balances in the form of Federal Reserve notes in violation of Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. We practice witchcraft in violation of Leviticus 20, verse 27. We condone and practice sodomy in violation of Leviticus 20, verse 13. Abortion in violation of Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 5. Adultery in violation of Exodus 20, verse 14. In fact, boys and girls, we're now in violation of 81 of the 133 laws. We still practice 52, but we routinely violate 81. Give you a couple of illustrations. We used to practice segregation in the United States. Today we practice integration. Well, okay, it's a violation of Scripture, and we made a choice, and we said, God, you made a mistake. Segregation is wrong. The Tower of Babel was a bad mistake, and we're going to fix that mistake for you. And Christmas, hey, listen, we're going to practice Christmas, even though you told us in Jeremiah 10, verses 1 through 6, not to do that. We're going to eat pig because we think it tastes real good, even though you told us not to eat pig in Leviticus 11, verse 7. I'm just pointing out, boys and girls, I didn't write this. I didn't make it. I'm just a reporter. I'm just here to report to you. Now, because of that, there are penalties that come down. You know, God says, don't eat pig. You give him the finger and you eat pig. Well, okay, it's a choice that you make. But do you believe, honest to God, in your heart, that when you're told don't do something and you go out and do it, that old dad isn't going to come down on you with a penalty? Now, you've been going to Christian churches for so long, and these Christian preachers have been lying to you. They're wolves in sheep's clothing is what they are, and telling you that God will forgive you for anything that you do, no matter how many times you do it. You can go out and screw your neighbor's wife 15 times a month, and he'll forgive you each and every time. There's never a time when you have to practice thou shalt not commit adultery. You can just violate that law forever, and he will always forgive you. That's a lie. That's not true. Now, most Christians believe that, and they practice life based upon that concept. But it's not true. Now, it is true you can break the law and you can be forgiven for it, but when you stop breaking the law, you can get the benefits that come from practicing that law. And as long as we continue violating these laws. You know, I got number 16 here. Public school violates Deuteronomy 4, verses 9 and 10. As long as you send your children to public school, there's going to be penalties. You want to practice the inheritance tax in violation of Deuteronomy 4, verse 2? You want to practice real estate sales by license in violation of Leviticus 25, verse 23? You want to practice birthdays in violation of Deuteronomy 12, verse 32 and Ecclesiastes 7, 1? You want to eat unclean meats in violation of Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14? And you believe that there's no penalty? You know, my daddy used to tell me, make your bed, take out the garbage, and wash the dishes. He told me, mow the grass. And then when I did that, I got my allowance and I got benefits. And when I didn't, I got whipped. Well, now, the God of Abraham isn't much different than my daddy. And in verse 14, listen to this. This is Leviticus 26, verse 14. He says, but if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all of these commandments, notice the word all of these commandments, not half of them, two-thirds of them, or some of them, but all of them. If you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you will not do all of my commandments, but that you break my covenant, See, all of these commandments were inscribed in the covenant. Covenant, that's a contract. We have a contract. All law is predicated upon contract. Your great-great-granddaddy, 84 generations ago, entered into a contract with the living God, and he said, all that the Eternal has said, we'll do and be obedient. You'll read that in Exodus 24, verse 7. And that binds these terms and conditions of this covenant upon the succeeding generations, the heirs and assigns forever. I don't know when it's up, boys and girls, but I know this. I don't know how long forever is, but I do know that forever ain't up yet. We ain't got to the end of it yet. So in verse 16, here's what he says, I'm going to do. Verse 16, he says, I'm going to do this to you. I will appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemies shall eat it. I'm going to set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursues you. And if you will not yet for all of this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain. Your land shall not yield her increase, and neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. And if you walk contrary to me, I will not hearken, and if you will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. And I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, destroy your cattle, and make you few in number, and your highways will be desolate. And if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but if you still walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you, and I will punish you yet seven times more for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hands of your enemies. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat it and not be satisfied. Now here's famine, boys and girls, famine. And in modern language, that verse 26, we're in Leviticus 26, verse 26. If we were to read that statement in modern English, it would say, when I've broken the staff of your bread and brought famine upon you, 10 women working for the ITT bakery shall bake your bread in one block long oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight in 1 pound loaves, and you shall eat that wallpaper paste and not be satisfied because there's no nutritional value in it. That's already come to pass. We call it wonder bread. In verse 16, he says, I'll do this unto you. I'll appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. You shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemy shall eat it. Listen, we've been sowing our seed, and we have been selling it to the Russians and the Chinese and trading with our enemies, and we work, pay our taxes, pay our interest, and our enemies eat our grains and foodstuffs. And there's a prophecy came to pass right in front of your eyeballs. Leviticus 26, 26 came to pass right in front of your eyeballs. I don't know if anybody ever pays attention here to what God says he's going to do to us, but notice the personal pronoun I, then I will walk contrary, and I, even I, will chastise you seven times, and I will destroy you, and I will set my face against you, and I will break the pride of your power. That personal pronoun I appears in this chapter 20 times. If you want to know what's happening to the United States and Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Western Europe, it's our God. He's in the process of leaning on us. He hasn't gone ballistic on us yet, but he's leaning on us. You know, he says, well, I'm going to, you know, you give me the finger, here's what I'm going to do to you. You know, you give me the flag a second time, and here's what I'm going to do to you again. And then I'm going to multiply this seven times on you. And there's coming a point in time, he says, when I'm going to go ballistic on you, and then watch out. So I thought I'd share that with you. Now, verse 27, he says, if you will not for all of this hearken unto me, but you walk contrary to me, then I'm going to walk contrary to you also in fury. I will chastise you seven times for your sins. You shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. That's called cannibalism, boys and girls. We're going to be reduced to cannibalism. Now, we haven't seen that in this country. We Western Anglo-Saxons, we haven't seen cannibalism. He says, you're going to see it. And I've been telling you, you know, now, we Americans used to be the world's breadbasket. Today, we're just about at the 50-50 mark. We're just about to the point where we have no food exports. We used to export a lot of food. Not anymore. We're importing food now. We're almost to that balance point. And he says, you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. And I'll destroy your high places, that's our churches and religious centers. I'll cut down your images, that's your state capitals and your phony governments. And I'll cast your carcasses, your dead bodies, upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. I'll make your cities waste. I'll bring your sanctuaries into desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. I'll bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. Our enemies, you know those 7 million Muslims that we brought over here to the United States, all these foreigners from all over the world that we brought in here with all their foreign gods and their foreign ideologies, they are going to look around in absolute naked astonishment at the destruction. And he says it isn't going to take a long time to accomplish either. He says in verse 33, I'm going to scatter you among the heathen, and I'll draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities laid waste. Then shall the land enjoy your Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate, and you be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy your Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelled upon it. You know, we won't practice land Sabbaths and Jubilees here in America. And I've never heard of you people in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, or Western Europe practicing it either. And I hear all these Christian preachers out here telling us, well, these laws were abolished and done away with, and we don't have to do that anymore. Well, that's not what you heard in that prophecy right there. He says, I'm going to throw you off that land. I'm going to send you into national captivity in your enemy's lands, and then the land will enjoy its Sabbaths. You know, that's just exactly what this New World Order has in mind for the North American continent. They're going to depopulate it and let the buffalo take over. And there's other prophecies that say he's going to do this for seven generations. Now, a generation is 40 years. So you just take 40 times seven, that's 280 years. God says, I'm going to let that North American continent lie idle for 280 years. So get ready, boys and girls. It's about to happen. Now, in verse 36, and upon them that are left alive of you, I'll send a faintness into their hearts and into the lands of, and in the lands of their enemies. And the sound of a shaking leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursue. Hey, that's where this terrorism is today. There's not enough terrorists in the world to fill a theater. We're creating the terrorists in Iraq. Remember that story? And Americans cringe under the Patriot Act, and we look to our government, and we say, oh my God, we need homeland security. We'll spend billions. Protect us. Protect us. Protect you from what? A bunch of ragheads running around in Afghanistan, for crying out loud? Have you got nothing between your legs, you Americans? Verse 37, he says, they shall fall one upon you, or fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, and none pursues. And you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. Now take a look at what's going on over in Iraq. We should have wrapped up that Iraq thing over there in short order. Okay? We're not able to. We should have been able to wrap up that Vietnam thing in short order, but we were totally unable to. Our enemies prevailed over us, boys and girls. There's a couple of wars, you know, that we should have stayed out of. That's kind of my conclusion. Vietnam and Iraq are a couple of wars that we could have stayed out of, probably made more money. Verse 38, he says, you'll perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of your fathers shall they pine away with them. Now, verse 40 says, if they shall confess their iniquity, and the iniquity of their fathers, and their trespass which they have trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary to me, and that I also have walked contrary to them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and I'll remember my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths, while she lies desolate without them, and they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because even because they despised my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. Now we Americans absolutely despise our God, despise the Bible, despise the Ten Commandments, and we have thrown them out of our public schools. Now don't sit there and say, oh no, I go to church every Sunday. Which, by the way, two-thirds of Americans, 60-some percent of Americans, go to church every Sunday. It's not quite two-thirds, but almost. But you don't find those same two-thirds of Americans going to church every Sunday, obeying God, practicing the Ten Commandments, and practicing the statutes and judgments. We give our God the finger, and then we expect all the benefits, and that's what our problem is. Now, I'm of the opinion that we're probably not going to change very much, and because we're not going to change very much, these penalties are going to come upon us. Verse 44, he says, and yet for all of that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them totally, to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, because I am the eternal their God. But I will for their sakes remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God, and I am the eternal. Now these are the statutes and the judgments and the laws which the eternal made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. Now that's one of the two penal clause chapters. And so you got a covenant, you got a contract. A contract was negotiated by Moses with God, for the benefit of you and I, the heirs and the signs forever. And the terms and conditions were spelled out in Exodus 19:16 through Exodus 24:8. Now, unfortunately, today, boys and girls, we wear mixed fabric clothes in violation of Leviticus 19:19. We wear unisex clothes in violation of Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. We condone and practice bestiality in violation of Exodus 22, verse 19. We practice New Year's Day in violation of Isaiah 1, verses 13 and 14. We practice idolatry in violation of Deuteronomy 5, verse 7. We violate and break the Sabbath in violation of Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15. We condone prostitution and whoredom in violation of Deuteronomy 23, verses 17 and 18. Just take a look at that Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky caper over there. Take a look at the national conventions, Republican and Democrat, and all the whores that flow in to those conventions. And all those politicians are over there screwing their neighbor's wives. I mean, come on, boys and girls, let's grow up and get real, don't you think? Now, this is the state of affairs here in America, and I'm sure that it's to some degree going on in Canada and Western Europe, especially some of these Western European countries, the modern, forward-thinking, advanced countries like Denmark and Holland, Germany. Now, over here in Deuteronomy 28 is the other chapter that deals with this thing of the penalties. the penal clause to the chapter. Now, I read to you the blessings. In verse 14, he says this, or verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28 says, "But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe to do all of his commandments and all of his statutes which I command you this day, that all of these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." Oh, wait a minute. Curses? Curses? Now, you know, we practice evolutionary philosophy. We teach that in our schools. We practice humanism in place of our scriptural heritage. You know, and we violate these statutes, judgments, and commandments, and we revel in it. Now, that's not everybody. Big Mike said that there were 7,000 in Israel that haven't bowed their knee to Baal, and you might be one of them. But don't think that it's the overwhelming majority, or that George Bush and the Republicans and the Congress or the legislatures of America are somehow going to pull a miracle out of the bag. Now, we're on the cusp. We're on the verge of these penalties coming to pass against us big time. So I'm going to interject a little story here in place of Deuteronomy 28, which is the second chapter. Let me flip over here to Isaiah. No, not Isaiah, Ezekiel. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 17. So I'm going to flip over and see if I can find it, first of all, being just a crummy plumber. No, it's right after Jeremiah. Here we are, Ezekiel chapter 5. If you've got a Bible, why don't you follow along? 17 verses. Give you a little background here. The book of Ezekiel is written 130 years after the Israelites go into national captivity. And this book is not written to the Jews, for the Jews, by the Jews. This book is written by Ezekiel to the Israelites, for the Israelites, and for the end time Israelites. This book is dated. This book is for the Great Tribulation period, just before. In fact, in Ezekiel 37, it goes a little bit beyond, and it looks at the Great White Throne Judgment that you see described in Ezekiel 37. Can all of these bones, can all these people that have ever lived and died be brought back to life? Which refers to a resurrection that you see three resurrections in Revelation chapter 20. Rather than going to heaven like the pagans and everybody else, you know, instead of going to heaven with 70 virgins, now you get to stay here on the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. There's other people that are going to heaven, but the meek are going to inherit the earth. I got to give you a reminder here, and then we'll take a look here at Ezekiel chapter 5. Here's what's coming. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. Remember, The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, the opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember the website georgegordon.org or the phone number, which is 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the two penal clause statutes, Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, talking about the economic bubble. We're in an economic bubble. And it's the precursor to the collapse of our economies. And it isn't just the United States economy, because all of the world's economies now are tied to this American dollar, the U.S. dollar, through the fiat currencies. These fiat currencies now are a violation of just weights and balances, and thou shalt not steal, and there's about to be a penalty that comes to pass. And it's this big penalty here, the collapse of the world's economy, is going to usher in a period of time called the New World Order, the Great Tribulation. Spoken of in more than 30 prophecies in the scripture, and here's one of those prophecies. It's in Ezekiel chapter 5. Listen to this. "And thou, son of man," he says, "you take you a sharp knife, you take you a barber's razor, and you cause it to pass upon your head and upon your beard, and then take three balances to weigh and divide the hair. And you shall burn with fire a third part in the midst of the city when the days of the siege are fulfilled, and you shall take a third part and smite about it with a knife, and a third part you shall scatter in the wind, and I'll draw out a sword after them. You shall also take thereof a few in number and bind them in your skirts. Then take of them again and cast them into the midst of the fire and burn them in the fire, for thereof shall a fire come forth into all the house of Israel." This isn't for the house of Judah, boys and girls. You Jews get off the hook on this one. And those of us that are Israelites, the other 10 tribes, we're the ones that are going to take this in the shorts. Verse 5. "Thus says the Eternal, the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are around about her. And she has changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations, and my statutes more than the countries that are round about her. For they have refused my judgments and my statutes, and they have not walked in them. Therefore, thus says the Eternal, the Lord God, because you multiplied more than the nations that are round about you, and have not walked in my statutes, neither have you kept my judgments, and neither have you done according to the judgments of the nations that are round about you. And therefore, thus says the Eternal, the Lord God, behold, I, even I, am against you, and I will execute judgment in the midst of you in the sight of the nations. And I will do in thee that which I have not done, and whereunto I will not do any more the like because of all of your abominations. He says, I'm going to do something to you guys that's never been done before, and I'll never do it again. Therefore the father shall eat the sons in the midst of thee, and the sons shall eat their fathers, and I will execute judgments in thee, and the whole remnant of thee will I scatter in all of the winds. That's called cannibalism. People turn to eating other people in cannibalism when they're hungry, when they don't have food. Now, in the Battle of Stalingrad, back in World War II, 1943, Thousand-Day Siege, they called that. There were only 237 documented cases of cannibalism in that three-year siege. 237 documented cases of cannibalism. And I say only because, you know, we're talking about populations numbering in the millions. Now, he says, this is cannibalism coming to the shores of America and Canada and Australia and New Zealand because you wouldn't practice my law. Now, that's why Howard Ruff, you know, said, well, I think I'll bet on food. I think food's pretty good barter item. Now, that's what I'm thinking. I can't think of a better source of money or a better barter item than food in a family. That's kind of what I'm betting on, too. And I'm betting on it because of Bible prophecy. But that's not all of it. It gets worse. Verse 11, he says, wherefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with all of your detestable things and with all of your abominations, therefore will I also diminish you, and neither shall my eye spare, and neither shall I have any pity. I'm going to reduce your population. Now in verse 12, a third part of you shall die with the pestilence, and with famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee, and a third part shall fall by the sword round about thee, and I will scatter a third part into all of the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. Now notice these hairs up here in the first verses. He says, you know, I want you to take a razor's barber and pass it over your head, divide them into three groups here. Well, he just told you what he's going to do. The scripture interprets the scripture. He's going to take a third of us, divide us into three thirds. One third of us are going to die by famine and disease. One third of us will die by war, and one third of us will be taken into national captivity. And the North American continent is, in fact, going to be depopulated. Just exactly what the New World Order gang has decided that they're going to do. But it wasn't the New World Order gang and the George Bushes that came to this conclusion. It was God Almighty that said, this is what I'm going to do. And he has brought about this New World Order group, these are what they call the neocons in Washington, to help execute God's plan. So like I said, I can't think of a better plan than to stockpile some food. Well, of course, unless you're going to be raptured off. Now, for all you people that are going to be raptured off, you don't have a problem. But for people like little Georgie Gordon that's not going off in the rapture, that's going to be left here to face this foreign invading army and famine and disease. And remember, I said there's 64 of these life-threatening problems. Disease is one of them. Famine's one of them. War is one of them. So here's three. Now, there's another 61 problems that we've got to face, confront, and overcome. In order to be a survivor, you're going to survive all 64. Because if you die from AIDS, then the fact that you had all the food in the world didn't solve your problem for you. If you get killed in the war, all the food and good health didn't solve your problem. So in verse 13, he says, thus shall my anger be accomplished. And I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I'll be comforted. And they shall know that I, the Eternal, have spoken it in my zeal, when I have accomplished my fury in them. Moreover, I will make you waste and a reproach among the nations that are round about you in the sight of all that pass by. So it shall be a reproach and a taunt and instruction and an astonishment unto the nations that are round about you. Then I shall execute judgments in you in anger and in fury and in furious rebukes. I, the Eternal, have spoken it. Kind of reminds me of Yul Brynner, you know. So it, how do you word that now? He says, so it's been spoken and so it shall be done. God comes along and he says, hey, listen, you know, I told you now what I'm going to do. Now pay attention. Verse 16 says, then I shall send upon them the evil arrows of famine, which shall be for their destruction, and which I will send to destroy you, and I will increase the famine upon you, and I will break your staff of bread. Verse 17, so shall I send upon you famine and evil beasts, and they shall bereave you, and pestilence and blood shall pass through you, and I will bring the sword upon you. I, the Eternal, have spoken it. So let it be written, so let it be done. That's what Yul Brynner said. Remember, well, Pharaoh said, so let it be written, so let it be done. All right, now that's pretty bad news. Now, the good news is that if you will sit down, shut up, fold your hands, and do what you're told, you know, you can get away with some of this that you've been dinking around with. Over here in Exodus 23:20, let me give you a little good news. He says, behold, I sent an angel before you. This is Leviticus 23, verse 20. He says, behold, I sent an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place that I've prepared. Now beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression because my name is in him. But if you shall indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I'll be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. And my angel shall go before you and bring you in unto thee, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and I'll cut them off. Now, don't bow down to them and don't practice their pagan idolatry. Now, notice here he says, I'll be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversary. And don't worry about somebody coming and stealing your food. Don't be concerned about the government coming here and raising hell with you. You practice the law of God. Obey God and keep his commandments. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did that, and they got through the fiery furnace. Daniel did that, and he got through the lion's den. Noah did that, and he got through the great flood. The Israelites did that, and they got through the Red Sea. Now, the secret here, the clue, you know, that tells you how to succeed is obey God and keep his commandments. Now, Americans, I can't speak for the rest of you people out there, but, you know, Americans have it in their head over here that we can give God the finger and that we can get away with that forever, and I'm not so sure that that's true. Now, you South Africans and Rhodesians, you know, the tribe of Asher settled in Rhodesia in South Africa, and the tribe of Asher has now been taken into national captivity. All of you white Anglo-Saxon South Africans and Rhodesians, did you notice that these penalties have come to pass upon you? And you Jews, did you notice that these penalties came upon you in World War II? Now, the Americans, Canadians, Australians, New Zealanders, and the British got away with it so far. Now, the Russians went through it from 1917 to 1989. Everybody in the world now is going through this great tribulation. And there's this great final end time grand smash climax that leads up to the second coming. And then he says famine is one of those events. And I'll just put together a school here called Subsistence and Survival. There's 20 chapters here, 20 things that you need to know. When we're talking about subsistence and survival, it has very little to do with Uzi submachine guns and stockpiling ammunition. He that lives by the sword shall perish by the sword. That's what Jesus said. Now, don't let me get in the way of you militiamen and all of you patriots out there that want to stockpile guns and ammunition, but I want to point out to you that he that lives by the sword perishes by the sword. I didn't come up with that. That isn't the First Gordon 4:14. That was Jesus. He's the one that came up with that idea. I think you'll do better to sit down, shut up, fold your hands, obey God, keep his commandments, and let's start learning how to practice these 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. There's less to learn and less to practice in the law of God than there is in your state traffic code. And every one of you people listening to me has a driver's license, and every one of you has a contract with the state, and you agreed that you would obey all of the traffic code of your state. Now, if you can agree to practice all of the traffic code of your state, I don't think that it's a stretch of your imagination to agree with God that you will practice his 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. Now, whether you agree to it or not, it's already binding upon you because the contract was negotiated by Moses at Mount Sinai. It's written, and it was sealed in blood, and it was put into the Ark of the Covenant, and it inures to the heirs and assigns forever as a matter of law. So for us Americans, Canadians, Australians, New Zealanders, British, Danes, you know, you Anglo-Saxons out there, you South African whites, and this law, this contract is binding upon us because we are the heirs and assigns forever. And I said earlier, I don't know how long forever is, but I do know this. It ain't up yet. Now this Deuteronomy 28 gets to be heavy duty. I might not have time to cover all of Deuteronomy 28, but I'm going to cover some of it for you. Now notice what he says here in verse 16. He says, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and store. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. And the Eternal shall send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, for to do until you be destroyed, and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings whereby you have forsaken me. And the Eternal will make the pestilence cleave unto you until he has consumed you from off of the land where you go in to possess it. That's disease. And he shall smite you with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with the sword and with blasting and with the mildew. And they shall pursue you until you perish. That's your enemies. And your heaven that's over your head shall be brass, and the earth that's under you shall be iron. And the Eternal will make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon you until you be destroyed. And the Eternal will cause you to be smitten before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and you shall be removed into all of the kingdoms of the earth. Well, we just saw that in Ezekiel. He said he's going to divide you up into three groups of hares over here, and the third group gets taken into national captivity. And your carcass shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. And the Eternal will smite you with the botch of Egypt and with the emerods and with the scab and the itch whereof you cannot be healed. And the Eternal will smite you with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart, mental disease, and you shall grope at noonday as the blind gropes in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save you. Sounds like the Patriot Act, Homeland Security, OSHA, and the EPA to me. And you shall betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. We call that wife swapping. And you shall build a house, and you shall not dwell therein. That's a foreclosure. You shall plant a vineyard, and you shall not gather the grapes thereof. And your ox shall be slain before your eyes, and you shall not eat thereof. Your ass shall be violently taken away from before your face, and shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have none to rescue them. Your sons and daughters shall be given to another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in your hand. We call that social lady in America. You know, we take 2.5 million children a year and put them into foster homes. Yeah, we take 2.5 million children a year out of their homes, put them in foster care. Verse 33, the fruit of your land and all of your labor shall a nation which you knowest not shall eat up, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed always. So that you shall be mad for the sight of your eyes which you shall see. And the Eternal will smite you in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. The Lord will bring you and your king, which you shall set over you, into a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there shall you serve other gods, wood and stone. That's good news. The king that we set up over us, the king that we elect, remember? We're a democracy. And this king that we set up over us is going into national captivity with us. That's the good news. And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the nations where the Eternal shall lead you. You shall carry much seed out into the field, and you shall gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all of your coasts, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olive oil shall cast its fruit. Remember, that's why I told you, I thought that you might need to have a supply stockpiled. And then when I read to you that, here it is right here, I've got the report right in front of me. Olive oil only lasts for 2 years. Know what it says here? Let me see if I can find it again. Honey, juice, ketchup, marshmallows, mustard, olive oil. Here it is. 2 years from manufacture date. After this time, color and flavor may be affected, but product is still generally safe to consume. What a crock of BS. You know, these multinational corporations have got you people convinced that you can't stockpile food. It won't last. There's an expiration date on there. We Americans are no longer able to think. We're only able to follow instructions. Throw your food out because the expiration dates come up. Not only don't we know how to stockpile, not only don't we know how to preserve food, or to grow food, or to prepare for this famine. We Americans are so damn helpless today that I don't think that the average guy in New York, if I gave him a chicken, would know what the hell to do with it. I think he'd make a pet out of it and starve to death, him and the chicken. Verse 45, he says, moreover, all of these curses shall come upon you, and shall pursue you and overtake you until you be destroyed. Why? Because you hearken not unto the voice of the Eternal your God to keep his commandments and the statutes which he commanded you. So I just thought I'd tell you, now all you Christians out there going to church, you know, every Sunday, get ready, get your Vaseline out. You can go to church every Sunday, but giving God the finger and not practicing the Ten Commandments, not practicing the Sabbath, not practicing the laws, the statutes, and judgments, is going to come back and bite you in the ass. Well, that's what Moses told us. But it hasn't happened yet. It's kind of like Noah's flood, you know, those people, after 60 years, old Noah's over here trudging away and building his ark. And I'm sure that they were there mocking him and saying, well, where is the promise of this flood that you're talking about, Noah? We've been waiting 60 years and nothing's happened yet. Hey, we've been waiting for this great tribulation now for 2,000 years. And if you take a look at Deuteronomy 28, 3,100 years, and it hasn't happened yet. Peter made an observation. He said in the end times, mockers and scoffers would come saying, hey, where's the promise of his coming? We're here. They're doing it today. Hey, where's the promise of his coming? Well, I'm an old man already, and I may die and be gathered to my fathers, and it may not come in my lifetime, but I was ready for it, just in case. And I will pass that mantle on to my sons and my daughters, and I've told them, you pass that mantle on to your sons and your daughters, because one of these days it's coming, and when it comes, you'll either be prepared for it or you won't. You'll either have an ark to get into or you won't, one or the other. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. But in verse 45, he just told you, here's why I'm going to do this to you. You want to know why God is going to do this? He tells you, because you won't practice my law. You want to go out and practice adultery. You want to go out and practice whoredoms and thefts. You want to go steal the Iraqis' oil. You know, there's a limit to how far we can go, boys and girls. We haven't reached that limit yet, and I don't know where that limit is, but I'm here to tell you that there's a limit out there somewhere. Common sense tells us there's got to be a limit somewhere. Verse 46, and they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder and upon your seed forever, because you serve not the Eternal your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shall you serve your enemies, which the Eternal shall send against you, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he has destroyed you. And the Eternal will bring a nation against you from far, from the ends of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue you shall not understand. I think that's the Chinese. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young, and he shall eat the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your land, until you be destroyed, which also shall not leave you either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of your kine, or flocks of your sheep, until he has destroyed you. And he shall besiege you in all of your gates until your high and fenced walls come down wherein you trusted throughout all of your land. And he shall besiege you in all of your gates throughout all of your land which the Eternal your God has given you. And you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the fruit and the flesh of your sons and of your daughters which the Eternal your God has given you in the siege and in the straitness wherewith your enemies shall distress you. Notice that word siege. Ever heard the word economic boycott? You see, when we export our industries to China, like the shoe industry is exported to China, and now our garlic industry, we're exporting that to China. And if those Chinese now want to buy and we don't sell to them and we get involved in some kind of a trade dispute with them, listen, boys and girls, we don't have a garlic industry. We don't have a shoe industry. We don't have a steel industry. And if we can't get it from the Chinese, the Japanese, and all these multinational corporations that have exported our jobs and exported our industries to the lands of our enemies, we're going to go naked and shoeless and without garlic to put in our roast beef. So you might want to think about stockpiling a little extra food. Might not be such a bad idea, you know. And I could be dead wrong. And what'll happen is you'll have a 4-year supply of food stockpiled, and you'll be totally independent. And when somebody raises the price of coffee, you can give them the finger and eat off of your old store, which is one of the benefits that God told you here in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. He said, you will eat of the old store. So I don't think that old store is such a bad idea. And I don't think that the example that we learned from the scripture with Joseph and a 7-year supply is such a bad idea. So if you'd like to learn more about that, why don't you write for my free General Law CD package? It's the place to start. Remember that the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package to order yours. Just go to the call the law school at 417-273-4967. Or you can go to the webpage, georgegordon.org, click onto the email, and then send an email request. That'll be a good place for you to start. I think we can answer your questions, and I think we can show you how to prepare you and your family. Obey God, keep His commandments, prepare for the Great Tribulation. If it doesn't come in your lifetime, you'll be prepared and be preparing for your children. Now, for more information about the law school and the law hour, just go to our webpage, remember, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement. The law hour is carried worldwide over the internet. All of these law hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date. Now, the law hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Remember, the law hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. A lot of time. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course, new topic. And we'll see you back here tomorrow if God is willing, and same time, same station. So until then, good night, friends.